The EU says from 2035 you can't buy polluting cars, but you can keep your e-fuels. From the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. The European Union has approved a landmark law that ends the sale of CO2-emitting cars by 2035. The new law had been expected to make it impossible to sell internal combustion engine cars, but Germany won an exemption for cars running on e-fuels. I asked David Bailey from the Birmingham Business School first what e-fuels are and why Germany wanted the exemption.
So e-fuels are synthetic fuels made from taking carbon from carbon dioxide out of the air, combining it with hydrogen, hopefully produced renewably, to make a synthetic fuel, which can then be used in a kind of normal way in an internal combustion engine. So it's seen as a kind of a, by some at least, a kind of magic bullet for keeping that internal combustion engine technology going. Proponents argue it's carbon neutral because when they're burned, it releases CO2, but CO2 will have been taken out of the air to begin with to make the fuel.
Yeah, because that new law had been expected to make it impossible to sell those internal combustion engines. But because of that exemption won by Germany, that's not going to be the case. Is that a bit of a sidestep rather than a step towards fully electric? And does this undermine actually the EU's commitments?
That's the big question. So at a time when much of the rest of the world is going electric in a very big way and China is kind of full speed electric, such that we see a lot of Chinese made electric cars on European roads now, Europe almost seems to be watering down the commitment for going in that direction, the key technology that will be needed. So I do worry that it's going to send a very mixed picture to car makers, some of whom may decide to put resources into developing e-fuel technology and keeping the combustion engine.
Why do you think, David, that the German car industry was pushing for these internal combustion engines?
Germany is the world leader in internal combustion engines, and they fear greatly the loss of jobs that may take place in their automotive industry, in their supply chain, if the internal combustion engine is consigned to the scrapyard of history completely. So big concerns amongst the supply chain companies like Bosch and others, and amongst automakers. So I think they're hoping that at least if the possibility of still using the internal combustion engine is available, then that could mitigate some of those job losses. Personally, I think they're missing the point. Unless Europe switches over to making electric cars en masse and cheaply, the European industry faces being wiped out really by the Chinese auto industry.
Professor David Bailey from the Birmingham Business School, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, let's do the numbers. European stocks rose alongside Asian shares as the Hong Kong market rallied after Alibaba announced plans to restructure the company. Alibaba shares are up by 12% this morning. Now, officials in the Dutch capital, Amsterdam, have launched a digital campaign in an attempt to reduce the influx of British tourists coming in search of drugs, sex and limitless alcohol. Anna Holligan has this report. And when she says stag parties, that's just British for a bachelor party.
The digital discouragement campaign highlighting the risks associated with drugs and alcohol will be triggered when people in Britain tap in terms such as stag party, cheap hotel or pub crawl Amsterdam. The ads feature young men staggering in the street, handcuffed and having their mugshots taken by police. UK-based travel agencies promote stag weekends in Amsterdam, including canal boat cruises with unlimited booze. The council wants to stop these and the cannabis-selling coffee shops and red-lit canal-side brothels from being such a big draw.
The BBC's Anna Holligan reporting. The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank sent shockwaves around the world, including Africa, where many startups were on the continent were customers. The BBC's Alan Kasuja has been speaking to Fatou Aguche, founder of the Big Tech This Week newsletter. He began by asking her how many businesses have been affected in Africa.
So right now, it's three for sure that we know from sub-Saharan Africa. Waza, OnePipe and Chipakash. And then we're learning that in Egypt, that there are about almost 50 startups that were impacted by SVB. All of these startups, they banked to SVB, so they had all their monies there. Chipakash came out to tell us that they were exposed by $1 million, but I found out from reliable sources that it was closer to $3 million before
the collapse.
That's
how much they had in the bank?
Yes.
And that's how much they could have lost?
Yes.
So we know that some African tech companies have been affected. How have they been affected?
For example, for Waza, which is also a startup, their own exposure was operational and it wasn't direct. So
what does that mean?
The payments processor that they have is called Circle. And Circle's exposure to Silicon Valley Bank was about $3.3 billion. So for Waza, any kinds of payments that they tried to process that week was held in limbo.
I wonder, what was it that was that appealing to people that made them consider SVB as a banker?
I mean, for some of these startups, they were mandated to do it. So if you're an African startup and you're trying to raise money, you're usually doing that through US investors. And for some of them, it's right there in their term sheets. And term sheets are the agreements between a startup and an investor.
So the investor will come and say that, if you want my money, SVB
yes,
is your bank.
You have to put your money in. Yes. And for some of them, they don't have any choice. And I can also understand that as well, because for some investors, they'll be more comfortable with the money remaining in the US as a supposed to put it into an African bank. And even for some founders as well of these startups, they'd rather have their money in the US. And because SVB is self-styled as the bank for startups, with all of the incentives that they give to these startups, so for some of them, it made sense to just open accounts there.
African regulators, policymakers, do they have a role to play in shoring up African startups and supporting them? Do they even understand what on earth is going on here?
Some of them do. I'm seeing more African regulators pay more attention to the startup industry. But the truth is, they are just not evolving as quickly as these industries are, because this is really contributing to a lot of countries' economies, right? So it's only beneficial for them to understand what's going on.
The BBC's Alan Kasuja reporting. And finally, ever fancied trying a mammoth meatball? No, I'm not talking about size. It's a meatball made from a giant woolly prehistoric creature. Vow Food is working with scientists to make mammoth meatballs in their labs. It's part of a project to demonstrate the potential of growing flesh from cells. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.